Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 723, and we're recording on Thursday, April 25th, 2024. A show about technology and ministry. So happy you joined us and joining me, as usual, Sally Draper, freshly minted grandma for the second time.
That's awesome. Right. Rejoicing here. We have a brand new grandson born yesterday on 4-2-4-2-4. What a great day
easy,
to be born.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. So we're super excited. Can't wait to hold him in my arms this weekend.
Yeah. Awesome. Now that's in South Dakota.
He's in North Dakota.
North Dakota. Right. Yeah. That's right.
That's right. And everybody's awesome. Doing great. And we're just feeling blessed for sure.
And how do they, are you granny, grandma? What's your moniker?
My husband actually came up with the name. He named himself Grandpa Awesome. So I'm Granny Awesome.
Granny Awesome.
Yeah. And we awesome. Drill that into our 2-year-old grandson all the time.
I love it.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, congratulations, Granny Awesome.
Thank you. Happy day.
All right. Well, we're going to do a little show here. If you've still got the strength after all that excitement you had yesterday.
It was kind of a sleepless night, I must admit.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Did you FaceTime and that kind of thing?
No, I fell asleep before he was born, and then I woke up in the middle of the night and saw all the pictures and texted with my son, and then I couldn't sleep at all.
Nice. Well, safe travels. All right. Episode 723, as I mentioned, we're going to kind of return to one of our old standbys, and that's productivity conversations. And we had this on the docket, a year or so ago, and we didn't do it. And now we're bringing it back, and it is a talk conversation around time management and specifically time blocking. Or time boxing, or there's all kinds of time whatevers, fill in the blank. And it was kind of inspired by a blog post. And then I explored it a little bit more as I was teaching my course on enhancing ministry with technology for the graduate program at Martin Luther College. So I wanted to bring some of those resources to the table, and we can explore and kind of go over where we want. But we've kind of put together a nice little collection of blog posts that we'll share, because I think everybody's going to have a little bit different angle or approach on how they do this. And I think everybody kind of does this in some way or another. It's just how it's done and what you call it. So, the time blocking topic has kind of fallen in and out of favor and maybe back into favor. And essentially the way I describe time blocking is essentially using your calendar to carve out tasks. So you're figuring out what you want to do and when you want to do it and for how long you want to do it. And use your calendar as a tool for that. So it's kind of a combination of tools. It's your task list and how that task list is married to or works with your calendar. So that's kind of what time blocking is. So for instance, in preparation for this show, we were going to have a topic on time blocking. So on my calendar this morning from 8 to 9, was something called review time blocking blogs. So I had set out, I knew we were doing the show at 10 o'clock today. So I said for 1 hour, I'm going to dedicate this time. I'm not going to do anything else but review the material for this show. And that's what I did. Now, I could have put that on a list and said, well, now is the time to do that. But putting it on the calendar for me does a couple things. One, it helps me prioritize, and this is important. So if you don't do that, then you're kind of at the mercy of the urgent. Another thing, another reason that I do that is that I get scheduled a lot by other things and other people and other meetings. And if I've got some reservations on my calendar, and if you're in a shared calendaring system, it's helpful to block that out. And they know that they can't use that time. I need that time for me. So I've actually made an appointment with myself. And that's kind of how I look at time blocking. There's other nuances, but I think that's how I would define it.
So that's interesting, Martin. I didn't know that. Even though we plan the show in advance, I see that yours is very task oriented, whereas initially I kind of took it as a method to set aside time to be creative or to think about things. And maybe that's a task on your list or whatever, but sometimes you just need a little space around something to get it done. And I think a good example from the blogs that we were reading was author Ann Patchett said she just sits and contemplates and considers the creativity she wants to come up with in the books that she's writing and stuff, but she doesn't have a set goal or whatever. She's just giving herself space to be creative. And for me, that seems to fit well with like our pastors who are writing weekly sermons and need space and time around that to give it ample thought and explore, you know, the background readings and things like that. Just time on their calendar that's set aside, almost not task oriented, but to explore.
And that's the beauty of this, because it depends on how you work and what you want to work on or what you feel you'd like to dedicate more time to or need to discipline yourself. Sometimes it's a self-discipline kind of thing that if you don't, then you won't. And that creativity time, that just pure thinking time. We're going to talk about Cal Newport here in a minute. He wrote the book Deep Work. I don't remember whether, did we review that book on this show? I don't remember.
We reviewed World Without Email, I think.
Okay. So. But we've done Deep Work with the team. And Deep Work really focuses on blocks of time where you dig deep, you go deep on particular tasks, things that are maybe hard or need uninterrupted time. And time blocking, Cal Newport, go figure, is a big fan of time blocking because you need to kind of carve that out on your calendar, or you know, the urgent will take over and you become just a, you know, you're moving from reaction to reaction, and that's a challenge. So when we talk about time blocking, and that's sometimes a objection by some, is it, well, I don't have control over my own schedule. A teacher might say that. Or somebody that's in the help industry, you know, somebody that needs kind of be available when people need them to be available. And Cal Newport addressed that, because I think there's some value in time blocking regardless of what your day typically looks like. He says periods of open-ended reactivity can be blocked off like any other type of obligation. Even if you're blocking most of your day for reactive work, or in the case of a teacher for, you know, classroom, for example, the fact that you're controlling your schedule will allow you to dedicate some small blocks, perhaps at the schedule periphery, to deeper pursuits. And this, I think, is from his book, Deep Work. So I would say, especially, some could say that especially if you don't have complete control of your schedule, those times that you do have control of your schedule become even more important to think about what goes in them. So if you've got just a half hour a day, or you've got just an hour a day, or you've got that one precious hour at the beginning of your day or the end of your day, boy, that's important to intentionalize what happens during that hour. So I think that's where time blocking where time boxing even comes in. So it's important to think about it that way too.
Yeah, I think you're hitting on something really great there because, and maybe you said this term at the beginning, decision fatigue can kind of kick in. Oh, I've got a 30-minute block. What should I do with it? Let's see. It's easy to pick up my phone and take a look there rather than, you know, trying to figure out something to do in such a short amount of time. However, you know, to the time blocking scheduled person, you've dedicated that time in advance and decided what you're going to do with that time, even though it's only 30 minutes. It's amazing how much you can get done in 30 minutes if you know what you're going to be working on and are prepared in advance, you know, to jump on that.
Yeah.
So good stuff.
One thing that came out, and this is in one of the blogs and one of the videos that goes along with the blog, is the importance of kind of looking out a little bit, at least maybe a week at a time, because there are things that will not fit in a block that you have on your calendar. So you have to figure out, how do I fit this in during the week? Let's say it's got to be done this week. You have to find the appropriate number of blocks, and it could be, you know, Monday morning and Wednesday afternoon, or, and there comes, you know, the skill, the gift maybe of estimating how long it's going to take. But it's important to kind of carve that out across your week if it's a priority. So one thing that's helpful, and I have to do a better job at this, is kind of put a little memory peg at the end of every day saying, how did it go? Did I get what I needed to get done during that time block? And what needs to change for the rest of the week? So you're kind of doing an assessment at the end of each day, and then a prep for tomorrow's block. How does it need to change? Or did I think what was going to happen the beginning of the week, did that become reality? Because we know that that's not always the case. Things happen, and you need to be flexible. And one nice thing I find about using a digital calendar is it's pretty easy to move stuff around. So if you've got something that just didn't happen, maybe it's a sermon study, or maybe it's lesson planning, or whatever it is, and that just didn't happen Monday morning like you hoped it would, just drag that thing over to someplace else and try and fit it in someplace else. It's pretty easy to do that. So I also, Sal, one thing that I also like about time blocking is it gives me a good summary of the week. So I can look back at what got done and maybe what didn't get done. So if you are in a situation where you need to report what you've done to somebody or somebody else or a group, sometimes that's helpful. Like, just an example, and I don't write, I do write reports. I write actually a lot of reports, but not from a week and on a week to week basis. But I do for the church council. So I'm the president of our church council. It's helpful for me to look back at my calendar to kind of report to them what kind of entered, you know, my life and what I had to do and the meetings that I had to attend and some of the decisions that came out of that. And my calendar is super helpful in kind of jogging my memory about things, you know, new action items or things that I'm still waiting on, those kinds of things.
Man, my brain's going 90 miles an hour, Martin. Couple of things. One, self-discipline. You said that at the beginning as well. And I'm pushing up on 60 here before too much longer. And I'm still got lessons to learn.
Two-time about grandma now.
Yeah. Self-discipline is hard. Yeah. And I think maybe the whole COVID thing gave us all a bigger taste of that because we were all working from home and having to be a lot more self-disciplined because of that fact. So you may not be perfect at it. Self-discipline may be hard for you in particular, but make little strides. You know, don't be discouraged that this can't help you. Secondly, use the tools. Like you mentioned, we have shared calendaring. We use Outlook at the Synod. Your calendar might look really full, but you can color code things or, you know, whatever you need to do to be able to make the tool work for you. And then I'm not quite sure how you manage that whole church president thing. Do you do the same thing on your personal calendar for the non-work hours, or what does that look like?
That's, and I think I talked about this a few shows back. You know, one of my picks of the week was the Apple calendar, because that allows me to bring in all the different calendars. So I've got my congregation president calendar. I have my work calendar. I have my home calendar. I can bring up Debbie's calendar. the school calendar, all those things can all be in there, and I've got them all color coded, so to speak, so that at one view I can look at the entire landscape. Without that, that would be a nightmare to try and figure out how these overlay each other. I think the number one requirement in selecting a calendar is you need to be able to kind of merge those. And you can in Google Calendar too. I know that I've played with that, and I've just found that Apple Calendar is a little bit better at it. It's also, I use an iPhone and an iPad, so it appears there as well. Google mm-hmm. Calendar's not quite as good, doesn't even have an app, I don't believe, on
yeah,
iOS.
They do.
There is an mm-hmm. app? Okay.
There is.
Well, there was something about it I didn't like, or how the app functioned. Oh, where the app isn't, it is on iOS and iPadOS, but it's not on the Mac. There is no Google Calendar. You have to use the web version, which is not actually quite as good as the app.
So invest your time in good systems. Mm-hmm. It's not like you have to nurse this along constantly. It's more set it up right mm-hmm. and use the powers that those tools can offer you.
Yeah, yeah. One thing that and there's a number of articles here. There's one from Bullet Journal, and we've talked about bullet journaling before. We've got definitions in here of different time blocking versus time boxing versus time batching or task batching. I mean, there's all kinds of terms out here, and if you're into this, you can read all that. One that I thought was kind of interesting was something called zombie mode. That was in the Bullet Journal article that we are sharing. Did that resonate with you, Sally? Remember reading about that?
I think I already mentioned my go-to, and that's picking up my phone and scrolling.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's zombie mode for me. When you can't deal, when you don't know which direction to turn, it's easy to go to the thing that's got no barriers and that kind of thing. So
they recommend actually having a list, for those times when you're just kind of checked out and you want to kind of mindlessly go through something but still be productive. So maybe that's email checking or some other task that just does not require a lot of energy or a lot of brain power. So they said, if you start your day in zombie mode, you're really in trouble if you don't have some kind of list that you can go to and be semi-productive, that doesn't require you to think and deep think. Kind of reminds me, and I think this was referenced in one of the blogs too, the book Eat That Frog. Mm-hmm. I know we've talked about this in the past, but basically the concept is do the hardest thing first. And it may be distasteful. You may not like to do it, but you'll benefit from it. And it makes actually your task selection a little bit easier too, because you kind of know what that frog is usually, what that thing is that you're trying to avoid and you're procrastinating about. And boy, I think that is a good productivity strategy there too.
Yeah, I agree. We read that book on the podcast as well, Martin.
That's right. So that was a long time ago.
It was quite a while ago. I like it. I think I'll try to turn over a new leaf because time blocking isn't something that I've been making use of. So
yeah,
give it.
You got to kind of be comfortable with your calendar. So if you commit to this, you have to have your calendar open and you have to kind of look at mm-hmm. it and use it versus, I don't know. I shouldn't say most people don't, but I would say a lot of people spend not as much time in their calendar as maybe they could. And it's a good tool. So,
mm-hmm. good
all
stuff.
Right. That's probably enough for now. Like I mentioned, we have a bunch of articles here that I think you'll find useful if this is something that you struggle with or want to kind of take to the next level or add some order to your life. Some real nice, easy to follow things. This is not super deep rocket science kind of things that they're talking about. Some of it is just common sense. They're putting names to things that are more just common sensey kinds of things. But I would say this is at all of interest to you. take a look at these articles.
Very good.
All right. Ministry resource. I wanted to throw in at least some of the research that my last class did on calendar management. So we had a day on calendar management. And so I put a link, or we'll put a link in the show notes, to a Wakelet. Wakelets are kind of cool. This was a pick of the week a long time ago, where it is kind of an online bulletin board that you can maintain, or you can invite others to collaborate with you. So this was one that we kind of opened up to the class, and people found content that resonated with them. And we just put it all on a Wakelet called Calendar Management. And you can kind of read an excerpt and see all the things that are in there and some of the things that they found helpful as well. So I think I made that public so you can at least see it. I think it might be helpful too. So that's our ministry resource.
Yep. We'd love to hear from you guys. If you're using a particular system, or have, you know, learned something on this podcast that you want to share that's working for you, please reach out to us and give us your comments on calendar management, time blocking, task blocking, whatever it is, whatever flavor makes it work for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, Sally, let's move on to our picks of the week.
Sure. And this one has an education focus. I came across this in a Ditch That Textbook e-newsletter. He's really great about Matt Miller, mm-hmm. the author of Ditch That Textbook, has a really amazing e-newsletter and sends out a lot of different cool resources. This one is called Book Creator, simplest, most inclusive way to create content in the classroom. And it's free to get started with. You can expand it to your school and get pricing and things from the website as well. But what Matt had pointed to was actually some example books that were created that are shared publicly that you could make use of in your classroom or whatever, just for fun. And what these are called are monthly activity journals. So if we were to open up the April activity journal, you can see that there's a page in the journal for each day of the month. And it kind of goes off of what the national day is for that particular day or whatever. So we just recently celebrated Earth Day. So there's things about Earth Day there. Yesterday was Bucket List Day. And it's just kind of encouraging your students or whomever to write about your bucket list items and consider what you might want to do to accomplish in your future days or whatever. Today is actually National Telephone Day, according to the April Activity Journal. And it gives a little bit of background on Alexander Graham Bell inventing the telephone. And then it says, if you could text with Alexander Graham Bell, what would you ask him? What would your conversation be like? And you can actually do it right here in the book. You can type out examples of what you would text to Alexander Graham Bell. So just a little flavor of Book Creator, kind of to unlock your juices. There's something about Morse code coming up, something about frogs and all kinds of facts about frogs. You can embed puzzles and audio and video, just lots of fun, creative ways to use the tool. And it might spark some ideas for you. Maybe not for this year, or maybe you want to use it towards the end of this school year, but maybe something you want to adopt in your classroom for next school year. So check it out.
Very nice. That looks cool. Mm-hmm. Unless there's a remix button there. It looks like you can maybe use a little bit of AI to figure out what content you could put in there. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It looks, you know, nicely designed.
Really engaging for the kids.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. My pick of the week, go figure, is a productivity recommendation. Seems like I make task management tools a regular pick of mine, and this is no different. In my search for task managers, I've looked at them all, and I felt, even though it may not be something that is part of my mainstream use, it's useful for somebody, and that is Apple Reminders. It's kind of it doesn't have task manager like Todoist or something like that in its title. You think it's maybe a little bit more pedestrian, a little you know, simplistic, but it's really come a long way. And if you are on an iPhone or an iPad or a Mac, this tool is available to you for free. And they've made some nice enhancements over the last year and a half or two. And I'm expecting even more. One of the nice things about the tool is, well, it's everywhere and it syncs everywhere. But it also has recently introduced subtasks. And I've found over time that a lot of my tasks have little mini tasks that make up the whole task. And adding this feature has helped quite a lot as you're looking at the ability to kind of truly capture what the task is, and these subtasks are super helpful. And of course, since it lives on, you know, in iOS or on your phone, it does a nice job of reminding you, so you can kind of set reminders. Another thing that I kind of like about Todoist, which was my last pick, which is kind of my go-to, Apple Reminders also has, and that's that natural language capability. So if you're typing in a task like, remind me to call mom on Tuesday at 3 p.m., it will figure out that, hey, I need to set this this day and time as well. So as you're typing that, it says, oh, you must want it on this day at this time, which is kind of helpful. And you don't have to do all the clicking around and figure out what and what all the settings are to make all that happen. Another nice thing, and this is what you would expect with Apple Reminders, is you can use Siri. And this is a case where Siri actually does a pretty good job. You can ask Siri to add something to a list, whether that's a shopping list or a task list or even a shared list. So my wife and I have a shared shopping list that we use. Siri can add those as well. So if you're in the market for some kind of task manager, I would say, and if you have an iPhone or an iPad or a Mac, this might be something to take a look at. I wouldn't dismiss it. It's totally free, comes with the operating system, and it's got some nice features like location and other contextual kinds of things that you can use. So check it out.
Very good. Siri's my friend. I use her all the time for timing my meals in the oven. Oh, yeah. So I'm always setting timers and she's reminding me. So
good stuff. All right, let's move on, Sally, to community news and feedback.
Yeah, we heard recently from Deb at Petra in Sauk Rapids, Minnesota. And it was not unlike many, many, many other emails we've received through the years. Topic that is not going away anytime soon. They are looking at setting up a new website, improving their website, kind of revamping it completely, starting over. And, you know, I would venture to say that everyone out there is probably connected to a church website or a school website or something of that nature. And you either are responsible for it and, you know, want to make it the best you can, or you look at it and you think this could be a lot better or whatever it is. So there's always room for improvement. And that's really important as you're maintaining church and school websites, that you don't just let it stagnate, but you continue to improve and make it better and stuff. So Deb was just kind of looking for a good place to start. What are some of the resources you've shared on Wells Tech in the past? That kind of thing. And we did have a great resource to share with her. It's from a couple years ago now, but we did focus on web design principles most recently on episode 665 and talk through different designers that we're aware of in the Wells and L space. I'm sure there's probably others that are out there after a couple of years, but we also shared some different comprehensive guides and checklist and things like that that will help people as they're looking at what belongs on their website and how to lay it out best, who your audiences are, that kind of thing as you consider setting up a new church or school website. I also want to make mention that we have a wonderful partnership. It's lasted many, many years with the good folks at Final Web, and they give our churches and schools a great price for their service. It it is a blessing to have someone that you can call on the phone to support you as you're working on a website, to have some consistency with the tools that are available for you to maintain the website, that if someone else steps into the role, there's documentation and support available to them. It's not something that just one person understands and is kind of a lone tool that would be hard to hand off to someone else. So Final Web offers a free 14-day trial, and then great pricing. Like I said, you can do web streaming, live streaming with them as well. Just all kinds of benefits to look at with the folks from Final Web. I don't know, Martin, it's probably coming up probably over 15 years that we've worked with Brian and his
at
crew
least,
at Final
yeah.
Web.
He was, I believe, maybe somebody we interviewed year one
I think you're right.
Wells Tech. So however many years that's been.
Go
plus,
way back.
Plus whenever he started with us. Yep. Good guy too. And they do design for you. So they will actually take an existing website, get it into the Final Web format for you. They'll do some light design and they could quote you for something more sophisticated as well. But I know they're ready to jump in and get you on the platform. So another thing that you didn't mention, Sally, was a good resource is our Google Groups, Wells Tech Google Groups people. That is a list that is frequented by Wells Tech friends that are willing to share their experiences with web development and web designers. So if you go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and up at the top, right, you can get, there's a link there, just a three people icon, I think it is, toward the right hand side, and you can kind of get to that. You have to be
join
the list, I guess that's what it's called, but it's free, and then you have access to all the other people on the list. It's simply an email process, and I can't even think of a time where somebody asked a question and didn't get at least one response. So I think it's helpful to reach out to people who've probably had the same question and have some good experience for you.
Definitely. Great group.
All right. Sally, we are going to do this again in a couple weeks, and I think we're going to have Jason and Rachel back, right?
Believe it or not, we're going to wrap up the school year with Jason Schmidt and Rachel Feld in our discussion of AI in the classroom. We've been reading a book together this year and certainly focused on the topic of the year with AI and all of the blossoming opportunities and challenges it's bringing into our lives.
Yep.
And so looking forward to the wrap of that discussion, looking forward to just Jason and Rachel. They always bring the sunshine with them when they come. So
they do.
It should be fun.
We love having them. So tune in for that. Thanks everybody for joining us. We pray that you have a great week. Enjoy the spring time. The Lord is showering us with, and we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.